button. We need like a, you know, hold.
Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holy Field Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Delvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Because we're having some beautiful weather here in Florida, that's why.
Fantastic. It's great. We're just getting into that time of the year where you can walk outside on concrete or asphalt and have your feet just stick to the asphalt or the concrete.
Right. Or that time of year when you can fry eggs out on the walk and, you know.
Yes. That's always fun. I always enjoy that. Eggs seem better when they're fried on the sidewalk.
That's right. Always enjoyed it too. And toast. I mean, when it jumps up a little bit higher, you can even add a little toast next to it.
I haven't tried toast. I was going to try the toast because I heard it's good too. And then maybe a steak because I think it's hot enough we could put a steak on the.
Probably put a steak there. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
so,
next week.
steak and eggs. And there you go. Yep. Steak and eggs. And, you know, we're all set. Oh, so.
That's fantastic. And there's plenty of sidewalks. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was sending out tweets while we were while the intro was going and everything, and was trying to get that out there, so get some people out there. But anyway, we do have a special guest tonight, and it's almost that time to go get our special guest. If you want to, you're ready to do the intro, we'll do that, and then I'll go get our guest, and we'll go from there.
I'll see you in a second then. We do have a guest tonight. If you check the website, I put it up there actually today. I was a little late doing that, bad me. But Lisa Stanton is our guest tonight. Lisa actually was raised down here in this area. She went to Zephyr Hills, over at Zephyr Hills, raised in that area. When she got married, she moved to Ohio, and that's where she lives now. She came in the winery the other day. We started to talk about the fact that, I guess it was a week ago. I said the other day. It's over a week now. We started to talk about the fact that I have a Blog Talk Radio program because I bring it up quite often to people. And she said that she does a travel blog. And I said, oh, really? What do you see? And she goes, oh, what? Go to wineries. And I go to everything, and I write about it. I said, well, since you go to wineries, would you like to be a guest on the program? And she said, of course, because it is a cool program, and it's a cool way to be a guest, and it's a cool thing to do. So any of you out there would like to be a guest on the program, just keep that in mind. So she couldn't do it last week. She was still traveling. But today, she said she was able to do it. So Mike's out there trying to get a hold of her now. She gave us a couple of phone numbers to get a hold of her, and he's trying both of them to see if he can't get a connection to her. The travel blog, if you want to check it out, www.simplesojourner.com. That's SimpleSojourner.com. She does a travel blog. Oh, she's in the green room, it looks like. So, you back with me, Mike? Okay,
yes.
Let me get Lisa back up here. Hello, Lisa. Welcome to All About Wine.
Well, hi, Ron. How are you this evening?
I am doing fantastic.
Good.
Actually, I'm doing even better because the guy came out and got our air conditioning running, which has been out for the last 3 days, and Mike's got AC issues, and so, but...
Yeah, and you have to have that in Florida.
You have to have that in Florida, either during that or...
During the summer. During the summer, especially. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike and I were just, you know, talking about cooking eggs, toast, and steak on the sidewalk when it's down here.
Right,
this time.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you were here. How long ago were you in? You're not in Florida now, are you?
No.
Okay.
I was in last week, and I was there for about 8 days, visiting family and friends, and visiting some places that I wanted to add to the blog. So, Ron's Winery was one of them. So,
fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, she also grew up here, though. So she she's familiar with the heat and humidity and all the lovely things that we have to live with here in Florida.
Yeah, don't quite have all that in Ohio where I'm at now. It's a little warm, but you know, it got up to 80 a couple of days. But
oh my gosh, how could you handle that?
Yeah, you know. So I'm not whining. I'm whining, but I'm not complaining. Okay.
that's better put. Yes. We're supposed to get some serious rains first of next week, though, so that's something we can look forward to there.
And you need that.
Our summer rain patterns. As long as we don't get the rains via a hurricane, then we're in good shape.
Yes. Oh. Right. Exactly. Not all at once.
Yeah. But right. Supposed to get some moving through. So. When we met a week and a half ago when you stopped by the winery and we had a nice visit, you said that you did a travel blog, and you said that you visited wineries and stuff, and I said, well, great. Why don't you join us on the show and talk about some of the wineries you visited? And you says, okay. So hence, we are here now because of the okay. you said... I usually visit wineries around where you live in Ohio, and I said, well, that's okay. I mean, you know, there's wineries everywhere, and so. By the way, Mike and I both checked out your your blog site, and very nice. Mm-hmm. A lot of beautiful pictures on there and stuff like that. So,
thank you.
Yeah, and did you take those pictures, or are those?
No, I would say 98% of those are all my pictures.
That's...
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive in itself. Yeah, I am jealous. I'm jealous of your travels and all that. So, winery, since this is all about wine, though we do often get off topic, but more often than not, I'm afraid. But is wineries one of the just an incidental visit while you're on your travels, or do you seek them out?
No, we do. We seek them out, and we pretty much do that just about everywhere we go. If you know, obviously, if there is one, and sometimes there are wineries in places I never expected, like South Dakota and New Mexico.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and you're not expecting it, and lo and behold, you pop in a place, and you know, usually the wine is pretty good, and so it's really a nice surprise. My husband is also, you know, loves beer, so we try to hit breweries along the way, and if they're combined, that's great. But so no, wineries and breweries are always part of our travel itinerary, and I'm not a wine expert, but I just we just love learning about wines, learning about the wine processes, you know, just sitting with you for an hour. And, you know, I learned so much from learning about the sharpshooter and the devastation it causes, to how the grapes that you use differs from a lot of the other Florida wineries. You just learn so much, and I never get tired of it. I never get tired of it.
That's one of the great things about visiting wineries, is always uniqueness. That's what we've done on this program, too, talk to so many different wineries. Well, a question arose in my mind when you were saying that. You said breweries and wineries, and if they're together, that's always pleasant. Most states, and Florida being one of them, most states, the beer and wine license is basically the same thing. If you are a winery and you have your license, you can do beer, and there's a few of them around Florida that are doing it, and vice versa. Do you find a lot of them in your travels that are the same, beer and wine establishments? Or
not a lot,
rare?
No. No, not a lot. There are a couple up here in Cleveland. When I went to South Dakota, the Naked Winery and Twisted Brewery are together, but not a lot of them together. They usually are separate.
I don't know. It just strikes me odd because wineries are breweries now are so big.
Right, right. And I noticed that one that's right down the road from you there in Plant City.
Keel and Curly.
That's it. I knew I wasn't going to get it right. And now they're brewing.
Started that within the last year, too.
They did. They did.
Yeah.
So that is new for them. And so they had a very interesting beer. It was a jalapeno blueberry porter.
I hadn't heard about that one. Wow.
That's,
I need
that's
to make it back
going,
down there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
But,
it sure sounds like it.
Yeah, but so that's a good instance, you know, of having the combined, and you know, that way you can, you know, that's good because, you know, some people just do like their beer, so it's good that you can accommodate those people as well.
Well, it's becoming so big. Breweries, yeah. I mean, microbreweries are just exploding.
Yeah.
I did a little number thing a few weeks ago on how microbreweries are exploding. I had a guy that contacted me the other day, as a matter of fact, that actually he came in. He was looking at finding a place and doing a brewery and just starting up a little brewery. And we were talking for about half hour. And he emailed me and he said, maybe we can do something together. He says, I'm not looking at big. He said, but maybe so. I have a possibility there of maybe letting him do small batches of beer along with wine. So it's in the planning stages, in the early, early stages. But that might be
something. Now, are you a big beer drinker?
I enjoy everything. Yeah, I really do.
Okay.
I can't. I enjoy good beers. You know, the American domestic beers, the Buds and the Coors and all that, I went through my times in my life drinking those. But if I'm going to drink beer now, it's going to be something that's a little bit more craft or more specialized as opposed to just the other one. Your husband's probably the same way if he's going to.
He is. He likes a good quality beer, and just there's even up here, we have so many breweries up here, and they're, you know, I really can't say that any of them are bad. They're all different, but, you know, they're all good, and so you've got a nice variety. So, and so, you know, I started, when I met my husband, I started learning about the different beers, because I wasn't really a beer person. I was, you know, I like my wine. I like my mixed drinks. So being married, I've come to learn my beer knowledge down, too. So that's good, too.
Yeah, it's not unusual for the husbands to be beer drinkers and the wives to be wine drinkers. I get that all the time, and the wives will say, I'm trying to get him interested in wine. And he just sort of rolls his eyes and says, oh, I'm a beer drinker. You know, I mean, that's, But
well, my husband drinks wine too, and he loves a good wine. And we enjoyed your bottle of Blush when I got home. We sat out on the front porch and enjoyed that bottle of Blush. And as we speak right now, I'm drinking a wonderful glass of Starfruit.
Yeah, that's funny. That's what I'm enjoying tonight myself. Some of my Starfruit. So.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. I always have a glass of wine during the program, and it happens to be Starfruit right now. So, sorry, Mike, you're left out of this. Both of us are having Starfruit. So,
poor Mike.
Yeah,
we always start off the show with, you know, oh, I'm drinking this. What are you drinking? Oh, I'm drinking this. And
You were drinking blueberry last week.
Yes, he was.
Past 2 weeks was his the strawberry port, which I've become a big fan of. I love that. The spice. Well, anyway, go ahead.
that port is just fabulous. That port is so unusual and so unique, and it's such a bold, rich flavor. And it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Don't stop. Don't.
We are talking to the. We are. The show is hosted by the person who put that together. So.
Don't stop. Well, thank you. Thank you both. I am proud of my part. I really am.
Yeah. You should be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Wineries. You've visited some wineries. You say around the country and stuff. Tell us about some of them. I don't care which ones or what part of the country or anything, but just little things that have stuck out in your mind about certain ones.
We've been all over, and so I know that California kind of gets beat to death, but so I won't go into too much of those. I mean, they're good, and you know, there's lots of them. But here in Ohio, you know, I'll go ahead and plug Ohio a little bit. I mean, we have probably 75 to 100 wineries. And, I mean, some of them are just absolutely fabulous. I think I was discussing the one with you, Gervasi, which is south of me in Canton. And it's a pretty good-sized operation. They have a couple different restaurants on the property, their own vineyards. And they converted an old barn that is their big bistro, their main building, and it's just the building alone is fabulous, you know, and you know, very good quality wines. But then, you know, I like to go to small wineries too, and when in Texas, you don't think maybe so much of Texas.
Oh, Texas has a lot of wineries, though.
They're popping up now, you know, in the last 10 years. There's so many wineries. One that comes to mind that I really like is Falls Creek Winery.
And what is it?
Falls Creek.
Fall Creek.
Falls Creek, F-A-L-L-S, Falls Creek Vineyard. They have a second location, but their main location is in a little town called Tow, Texas, just T-O-W. And it's off the Buchanan Lake. And what's really cool about that is you can start from the other side of the lake and take a boat ride through the lake and they will drop you off at the winery. I mean, it's just perfect. It's romantic. It's nice. It's just so perfect, and you can spend as much time as you want at the winery, and they'll bring you back. So that one's kind of unique in itself. And, you know, just really nice, nicely done. Simplistic, but nicely done.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's kind of cool, you know, something that people can do for something unusual.
What part of Texas is so?
It's in the what they call the Hill Country.
Oh, yeah,
So you're going to be west of Austin. You're going to be near a little town called Marble Falls, and it's just right in that area. There's a big lake there called Buchanan Lake, and it's right on that lake.
Oh, that's cool. Good.
It is cool. And so, you know, I like things like that. I like things that are a little unusual, but, you know, not the norm. So that's kind of nice, too. And, you know, we like to go over to the Finger Lakes a lot. You know, there's, you know, you'll wear yourself out over there. You know, there's so many, you know. And there's a lot of breweries now. There's a lot of breweries in the Finger Lakes area, too. So we have to make another trip back over so we can visit some more of those.
Are they all pretty close together? The breweries and the wineries and Finger Lakes are they?
They are close together. I mean, I would say you've got a winery or a brewery every half a mile to a mile up and down those lakes.
Oh my gosh!
I said, you will wear yourself out by the time you just get done one lake. It is, there's so many, you know, but there, you know, there's, like Fulkerson's and Glenora are pretty popular over there as far as the bigger wineries, you know, Fox Run, those are some of the bigger ones over there. And they're good, you know, some of them have motels, some of them, you know, they're all on the lake. So that's nice, you know, so you can drink your wine while you're sitting on the lake. So that's nice, too.
The Ohio wineries, I know there's some in South. I had an opportunity to visit some of them down south of Ohio, down in Cincinnati and different places, and some great little wineries down there. I found this little, I can't think of the name of it now. Do you remember? I asked my engineer here. She remembers. No, the one that was open in the evening, and we went out and met some people that were from Brandon down there. You remember the name of that little winery?
So you went all the way to Ohio to meet people from Florida.
Yeah, I met people from down the street. It was funny a little small winery, but just really great people there and all that. The winemaker and I talked for a while and all that. He took me in the back, let me taste a couple of wines that he had that he was in the middle of making and stuff. And that's always fun to do that. Although, I don't know, I guess maybe when I say, you know, I have a winery and who I am, then I, you know, a little bit more privileged. Although Mike's doing the same thing. I'm co-host of All About Wine, and he's starting to get privileges too. So,
I'm gonna have to. Yeah, I have to bug out of here. I talked to Ron earlier about this, but there was a knock on the door. I'm gonna. I took some notes here, but I'm gonna have to listen to this on the archives. And I just
hope your air conditioner is simple and easy to fix. And
I hope so.
We'll talk to you next week.
This is brutal. Okay, sorry about that, but Lisa, it's great so far. I'm enjoying it, and I will definitely listen to it on the archives, and we'll pick up again.
Hope to talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
We've all been having AC issues. Ours
not
went out.
Good.
Ours went out a week ago, and we've been suffering through some heat. And then Mike, I got a hold of him, or we started talks before the program, and he says, I'm going to have to leave early. Our air conditioning is acting up. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, here's two.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And, It is a necessity here in Florida, as you well know. You grew up in what, Zephyr Hills?
I lived in Zephyr Hills. I lived up and down the West Coast. Started out in Bradenton and Sarasota, then Brooksville, then Zephyr Hills. So I lived all up and down the West Coast, but predominantly from, you know, a young teenager started, you know, when we moved there, and lived there up until I got married, and that was 14 years ago. So Florida is my home, I guess, you know.
Yeah, Florida basically, mm-hmm. although you're transplanted. Buckeye, is that, that's what they are now?
Yeah. The Buckeyes, yes.
That's kind of Buckeye.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But I was saying, you know, before Mike had to leave us here, that a lot of wineries, this little small one, though, you know, he had built himself a little wine cave that he dug out. And you know, it's just there's a lot of really nice little small wineries down all along the southern part of Ohio. But we didn't get a chance to visit any of them up north. Now, you're up outside of Cleveland, you say, so...
Right, I am. I'm closer to Cleveland. Been to some of the, a lot of the wineries in the south, like Breitenbach, the bigger ones, things like that, that are really good. But there are a lot of wineries all up, you know, we have the big wine trail that goes all up through the lake area, what they call the lake area.
The Big Lake. Okay, yeah.
Yes. So you have some of your bigger names, like Ferranti's or Debonair's. You know, these are the ones that have been around for many years, you know. And then you have a lot of smaller ones, but you can spend 2 or 3 days just along the lake visiting Ohio wineries.
Wow. No.
And they're great, you know. You'll find with a lot of the wineries up here that the, you know, they like their Niagara grapes, so a lot of the grapes are that real strong grapey, and they love their ice wines. So that's real prevalent up in this area.
Oh, so everybody makes an ice wine, huh?
Yeah,
because
very
they
prevalent.
Can't.
Yeah, really.
You say lake area, and I'm thinking between Cleveland and Ashtabula. Is that correct?
Correct. Exactly. That all that area, a little bit south too, but all that area up on the lake is just filled with wineries, big and small. And, you know, a lot of them have restaurants and things like that. But very nice. I like to go to Debonair's and Ferranti's, you know, sit outside on their patios and you know, sit and have wine and a cheese plate. Very nice. Very nicely laid out. And, again, like I said, they have very good quality wines. A lot of Catapa type wines and ice wines, so you get a lot of that up in the area, and you know they're all good. You know,
the lake doesn't freeze there, does it?
Occasionally it does, yes.
Oh, does it? Okay, I was thinking the lake doesn't freeze, which would modify the climate a little bit there, but with the lake freezing, that would. Be somewhat severe on some of the grapes, so that's probably would dictate why they would have to grow the Catawbas and stuff like that and Concords because of the cold weather there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it gets very cold and a lot of snow, but yes, occasionally that lake does freeze, and that, you know, and of course we get the bad winters when it does, but...
But still, everybody can always take solace in the fact that no matter how bad the winter is, it's never as bad as Buffalo. So, you know, it's...
Exactly. I know. Theirs is always worse than us, but... It's sometimes, though, when you have months and months of it, it's just hard to imagine.
Yeah.
It's got it worse than you, but...
That's right,
They do, I know.
Oh, yeah. You have you, you mentioned going east to New York. Pennsylvania has a lot of wineries there, too. Has that been part of the itinerary? Or
it has
just
not
driven
yet.
Through?
It has not. No,
you've
it
driven
has
through
not
Pennsylvania
yet.
To go to New York? Pennsylvania will slap you for that.
I know. And we like to ride our motorcycle through Pennsylvania and everything, but it is it's on the list, but it is not something that we've covered yet. So that and I have to admit, some of the wineries in Virginia I'm lacking on as well. So I've got to get down there. Although I hear they're having a lot of rain, so that obviously might affect them as well.
I was just looking at the rain down there and how it's affecting some of the wines. But you know, it's early in the season, so it's not going to affect them too much. Later in the year, it hurt them even more. But it's a little. Mm-hmm. If it's going to happen, now is a good time to happen, not later. So.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, Virginia. We've been talking to Virginia. I've talked to different states and all that. And Virginia's one I need to get back and try to get in touch with some more of the wineries there. There's a lot of them in Virginia. Close to 200 wineries in Virginia now. So. West Virginia.
And definitely they're popping up in West Virginia. Now, we do cover the wineries in North Carolina because I am down there once a year anyway. So every time we go down, we try to, revisit some old ones, but we try to visit some new ones. And, there's some great wineries there. One that comes to mind that you'll see on my website is the Shelton Vineyard.
I saw Shelton on there.
Yeah, in the Yadkin Valley area. And it's very large, and it was started by two brothers. It's full service, obviously, as far as vineyard cellars and restaurants. And the land, on a lot of acreage, so it's laid out very pretty. And that's always kind of a favorite when we're going through the state. But there's, again, so many wineries that have popped up in North Carolina, big and small, and it just, some really, good quality wines.
Yeah, and you can't keep up with them all either. There's so many around and so many different wines that they have and all that. You want to try, every time I talk to a winery and they start telling me the wines they have and I start reading about them and stuff like that, I just, I want one of each. I want one. You can't keep up with all of them. It's just, no way you can do that.
I know. It's a lot. It's a lot. But I try to hit as many as I can. I tried to do
you,
my part.
You visited any in Alaska?
I did not.
There's wineries in Alaska. There's we talked to one of them on the radio program way back. I guess it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, if not longer. But we talked to winery in Alaska, and they get the grapes in. Obviously, they don't. The season's not good, but there's a lot of wineries up in Alaska. There's six of them, I think there is now. So
now are they growing their own grapes?
No, they don't. Okay. The season's not long enough. Does nothing but kits. They bring in the wine kits and do that and sell them. And then a couple of others actually make the wines, get the juice in from Oregon, Washington, California, and make the wine. But I was just wondering, since you were there, I mean, Alaskan wines.
I know. No, I did. That is something I haven't done, but there's always another trip to Alaska. That's what I say. So
yeah,
I've been there twice, and I just love Alaska.
I'm still jealous again. Look at that. I landed in Alaska coming back from overseas and was there for less than 24 hours.
You have to visit Alaska at least once in your lifetime. It is just, and I know Western Canada is the same, but it is just absolutely breathtaking. And it's even hard to, you see my pictures on the blog, and even that's hard to capture because it's just so stunning. So,
my son was just up there the end of April. He went up on a fishing trip. I have a nephew who is in the Coast Guard in Station, Alaska.
Okay.
So my son went up there for a fishing trip for 5 days, and I was jealous of that too. Doing some Alaska river fishing. Oh my gosh! I was told, someone told me, they said, if you're going to go to Alaska, take a boat up the coast and then get a car and drive the highway, the Alaskan highway, back down south. They said that's the way to do it. Then you see everything and all that.
Then you see everything. Yeah. I haven't done that. I have, both of my trips have been on the mainland. I haven't, not the cruises, because the cruises, you get very little, you know. So both of mine were on the mainland. The first time I went with friends, which was real nice because they were able to show me around. But the second time I was solo. And that was very interesting. It just in the fact that Alaskans are very, very welcoming people. And when a lot of them would find out that I was by myself, different opportunities would present itself. And so I saw things and went places. My one story of Wrangell St. Elias, that was just off the cuff and just absolutely fabulous to take, a plane ride through there. So, the Alaskan people, you go up there, they're very warm, they're very welcoming, very friendly. It's just, it's just a great place to visit. So, yes, you definitely have to get there.
I'm going to have to be on my bucket list. I am going to have to add Alaska to the bucket list, Yeah, more so than just a 24-hour layover. So, the wineries that you're visiting, are you searching for any particular type of wine, or are you just jumping in and saying, what do you got, what's good? I mean, that's what you did with me. What do you got, what's good? So.
Right. And no, I don't think we unless somebody tells us about something, not a particular wine or anything like that. Just to search out, different wineries and to see what they offer. And like I said, you can go to 5 wineries in the same state and everything's, different. They may all be good. Maybe not, but it is just fabulous. So no, we not just a particular wine, because I'm pretty open to different wines, sweet, dry, whatever, but just the wineries themselves, I think, is what we tend to seek out, and then obviously try their wines from there and go from there. I don't know that I'm still in the learning process about wines, to say, this particular style brand. I know you mentioned something about people. What was it you were reading last week about? Do people really care about what sells at an auction and things like that? And for someone like me, no. I'm going to go by what I like, what wine I like.
I think most people do.
I tell people,
there's two types of wines in the world, the type you like and the type you don't like. If you like it, you drink it. If you don't like it, don't drink it. And that's the bottom line, And people say, well, I should like this because it's supposed to be really good. And I said, well, if you don't, I said, then there's nothing wrong with you. And people feel that there is something wrong with them if it's not something they like. Now, when you start talking about expensive wines and cheap wines, people are always saying, well, the cheap wines are just as good as expensive. No, not really. I mean, this is the point that I'm always trying to point out to people. And I always, people talk about wine and all this, and I say, let's compare this to a hamburger, okay? You can go to McDonald's and get yourself a 49-cent hamburger, or you can go to TGI Fridays and get yourself a hamburger. Now, you don't have to have a sophisticated palate to tell the difference between those two hamburgers.
Right.
the same thing with wine. You can get yourself a $2.99 Cabernet Sauvignon at Walmart, or you can get yourself a $35, $40 bottle of wine at a winery. It doesn't take a sophisticated palate to taste the difference. And, you know, it's there. There's something about it, and there's things about it that's there. And this is, I think, what people need to, more than anything, keep an open mind about, is that, you know, if you don't like it, that's okay, but the difference is the quality is there. And I always tell people, you know, the thing that you never do, and it's really sad because people really could tell it, the thing you never do is have two of them side by side.
Right.
And you know, if a local wine shop or local liquor store or local place has wine tastings, then I encourage people wholeheartedly to go to these things, because then you can taste, say, a Cabernet Sauvignon from this one place, and then two tables down, take a Cabernet Sauvignon there, and really start seeing the style difference and really start seeing it. But otherwise, you would never open two bottles at the same time.
Right.
And so by comparison, that's really where you start to develop that that taste, that you start developing that palate that everybody says, oh, I don't have one. Yeah, you do. It's just a matter of education.
I think so. And mine has changed over the years, you know, of, you know, what I liked or might have liked a few years back. I don't, you know, that's not quite as good as what I'm drinking now. So I think your taste changes. And I find also that I used to drink the real sweet wines, and I tend to go more for the medium wines now. So I think your taste changes, you know, and that's okay too. But I think you're kind of learning as you go along, and learning, changing, and what you like, and you may tend to gravitate to something. But I always tell people, try something new. You know, just because you drink a Pinot all the time, and that's fine. But when you go to a winery and try something new, and, you know, I think you'll find something else that you like as well.
The guy that taught me about wine, one thing that he taught me, and I will always be grateful for, he said there's a quality in every wine that you can find interesting. Now, it's not, he didn't ever say good. He said interesting. Now, you know, because something can be interesting and not good. You know, I mean, and believe me, I found some wines that were very interesting and that were absolutely not good at all. But for example, a Vidalia onion wine that I had an opportunity to try a Vidalia onion wine, and that was very interesting.
maybe you could cook with it.
You could, actually, it was a local guy. There was he stopped by the winery after the state fair down there in Tampa, and he won gold. He actually won double gold for his Vidalia onion wine. And he stopped by the winery. We were talking, and he told me one double gold, and he says, wait. He says, I have a bottle in the car I'll give you. And he went out, and he gave me a bottle of it. And I tasted it, and it was like, it tastes like onion. It really did.
It was real strong?
No, well, not real strong. No, it wasn't sweet. It was Vidalia. Vidalia onions aren't real strong anyway. They're very good onions, and they're not real strong.
Right.
But it actually did taste like onion, but not overpowering or anything. And it was interesting. It really was. And he said people love to cook with it. And he said he sells a lot of it because it's cooking. But then that old rule, you should never cook with the wine you would not enjoy a glass of.
That's what I learned.
If it's not good enough to drink, don't eat it. But the guy taught me, though, he said, you know, there's something about every wine you can find interesting. And based on that, you always try different wines, because you'll never know until you try it. And so when people walk in and say, well, I only drink sweet, or only drink dry, or only drink, you know, red, or only drink white, it's just really sad to me that they're not. And you just said the same thing. You know, you got to try it. You don't know until you try it. And if you give it up right away by saying, well, only like, you know, red, whites or something.
Right. And I have a couple friends I've done that with. I my one friend was a strictly Merlot drinker. And now I've got her up to the Chardonnays and Pinots.
Good.
She loves them. And I had another friend that wasn't really a wine drinker at all. And I started her off with, okay, let's start off with something a little light, maybe a Moscato or a sparkling Moscato, you know. And now she's trying other things. So, you know, I think people are thinking they had a glass, a wine somewhere, and it just didn't sit on their palate right, and they're just not a wine drinker. But I think you got to break past that barrier, because I think even if you're not a wine drinker, I think there's a wine for everybody.
Oh, without question. You became a wine ambassador. I mean, look at you there. Fascinating. Yeah. But, yeah, there's something for everybody out there. There's, you know, and it's just, you know, people are always saying, ooh, this is, you know, too dry or this. And you got to try them. You got to give something a chance. And, you know, I always tell people a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And the same thing with the wine. You know, a lot of people who's not a wine drinker, a spoonful of sugar, you know, helps it, you know, become palatable. But, It's just interesting to search and try to discover and try to find different styles and different tastes and all that. And, you know, I become jealous of your travels to be able to go around and try all those different things and all those different tastes and styles, because that really opens up an enormous world to you out there to do that.
Well, I for me, it's just, it is part of traveling for me. I, you know, just to get out and see things, I want to experience local flavor when I go to a place. So that's with food as well as drink. And so as much as I can through the travels, I try to seek out those things, probably more now than I have years past, because I just really enjoy it now. I just really enjoy a glass of wine now, probably more than I did 15 years ago. So I do seek it out more now. And like you said, there's always something unique. When I went to New Mexico, I got to taste a hot pepper wine.
Yeah, jalapeno pepper wine. They make quite a few of them, actually.
Yeah, and you think, okay, well, so maybe people that don't like hot food, but it's not hot. It's really, you get a little heat on the back of your throat, but the wine is very tasteful, and you just get a little bit of heat on the back, and it's like, this is very nice, very unique. Maybe not for everybody, but something different, and definitely, you know, to New Mexico with the peppers, indigenous to that area. So, there's something different everywhere. When I visited the winery, you'll like this one. It was called the Naked Winery. Fortunately, it wasn't. It was, you know, you kept your clothes on when you went in.
No,
it wasn't that kind of winery. No. It's just a winery that they don't use any type of preservatives or anything, and they're also a brewery. And they bring their grapes in from Washington and Illinois. And their wines were very good, very good. And you know, something you didn't expect. And then down the road, I stopped at another winery, and they had rhubarb wine.
Oh.
And that was something.
Where was this? What state?
It's Hill City, South Dakota.
South Dakota. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Rhubarb. I interviewed some wineries in South Dakota, and one of them, I can't remember the name of it right now because I'm horrible at remembering names, but one of them had a rhubarb wine. They sent me a bottle of it, and it was quite fun, actually, rhubarb wine. Yeah,
I thought so. It was called the what is it called? Prairie Berry.
Prairie Berry. Yeah, I interviewed Prairie Berry.
That was it. That was the one that we tried several of their other wines, but the rhubarb just, I have to try something that's different. There's something different there. I've got to try it. And
Prairie Berry was one of my interviews, and I think that's the one that he sent me with the rhubarb from Prairie Berry. Yeah, I think so.
It was really good. You get the unexpected, and I enjoy that about the wineries and breweries too. When you can get something very unusual, unexpected, I think that makes it, puts the cherry on top sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I tell people all the time, don't pass up a wine. People come in and they say, we were going down I-75 and, heard that there was a winery had to turn off, had to come down and all that. And, and that's just, people are discovering wineries all over the place, and they're discovering breweries all over the place, and they're just, I can't tell you how many different visitors from around the country and around the world that I've had, just, that are just, like you, seeking out, new wineries and places and stuff, and it's just, it's always exciting to talk to somebody, from other parts of the world and other parts of the country.
Right. Yeah. It's funny that you should mention that with that person you said you ran into somebody from Florida and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
When I was in North Carolina, we were doing a wine tasting with a couple that lives 10 miles down the road from
you.
And it was like, okay, we both, come from Ohio to North Carolina to taste wines. And they were the same way. And they said, oh, no, we love to try new wineries. And, we have become wine lovers in the last few years. We weren't always big on wine, but we've become wine lovers. So anytime we travel, we like to, if there's a winery, we like to stop. And so I think it is becoming more and more popular. And even with younger people, I think I read an article the other day, early 20s are now, instead of the hard whiskey and things like that, that they're actually seeking out wines and wineries.
Yeah. And beer. The breweries, the young men are looking a lot at beer stuff. Their young wives are wine drinkers, and they're always saying, well, I'm trying to get him to enjoy wine. He says, and I'm trying to get her to enjoy beer. It's just. But yeah, it's a very big group. And the millennials, too, the millennial age group is starting to surpass a lot of the baby boomers and the wine consumption now. It's
right
exploding in that area too.
That's good. It's good for the wineries. It's good for everybody. For the economy. I think it's a great thing.
And the health benefits of red wines and stuff have been documented, and people tend to. I don't think overdrink wine as much as they would hard liquor and stuff. I just I don't have any stats to back that up, but I don't think they have as much wine and with the lower alcohol, and I think it's just a little bit better for them all the way around there. So,
because I think that you're savoring wine, you're not just chugging it down, you're savoring it. You're having it with either dinner or me. I just love it. Cheese and cracker plate and that's all I want. And I savor my wine. And just like the wine of yours that I'm drinking now. I enjoy it. I enjoy it and it's quality. I enjoy it and I don't want to rush it down. So, maybe I may only have one or two glasses because I want to enjoy it.
And in doing that one or two glasses, and you slow down on drinking too, you actually are thinking about drinking it as opposed to having a cocktail that is just a drink. And so, don't know. I tend to be a little biased toward wine, so therefore my opinion will lean that way tremendously. Actually,
that's okay. Exactly. Well, you should be very proud of. You should be very proud of what you have there. Your wines are very quality. Like I said, I never claim to be a wine expert, but I your wines are very good quality wine, and I think you should be very proud.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes. I really do. And that was a totally unpaid, unsolicited testimony there by Lisa. So.
Yes, it was. as I sip my star fruit.
Yeah, me too. I just like I said, I'm enjoying star fruit tonight myself. So
right, exactly.
Well, Lisa, thank you for taking your time out tonight to join us. I really do appreciate it. It was interesting and a lot of great stuff on your website. In fact, on your blog. Give the information, your blog address, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you all have, any of those things. So if anyone wants to follow you on any of that, so lay it all out.
The website is just www.simple, S-I-M-P-L-E, Sojourner, S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R.com. So just simplesojourner.com. It's also the same on Facebook or Lisa Stanton, either one. I have both. Pinterest is Simple Sojourner, and Instagram is Simple_Sojourner.
See, there you go, Pinterest and Instagram. I don't do either one of those.
Well, you're going to be on my Pinterest, so.
We
got you covered.
All the daughter-in-laws and daughters and all that are covering all that Pinterest stuff. I got an account. I just never use it. In fact, it's been so long, it's probably dead now. I don't know. So.
But no, I appreciate you asking me on.
I'm glad you were able to take the time to join us tonight. And have yourself a wonderful evening and enjoy the rest of that starfruit wine, as I will also enjoy mine. And thank you. And next time you're down here in this area, I look forward to seeing you stop by at the winery again.
I definitely will, Ron, and we will definitely keep in touch.
All right. Sounds real good to me. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great evening. Okay.
You also.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right. Oh, there's my little button. Thank you, Lisa. That was fun. That's a lot of information, a lot of stuff there, telling us about her travels and all that. And then that's really, if you check out her site, that beautiful pictures on there. I mean, really, really some gorgeous pictures. She's traveled all over different places and all that. Like I say, my engineer and I are somewhat jealous of the abilities to travel all over like that. That would be a great thing to do. Really need to get All About Wine on the road. Get Mike and his other and me and my other and get out there on the road and start visiting wineries in person and broadcasting live each week. That would be so much fun. Oh, my gosh. Should get a hold of, the Food Network or something like that and have them sponsor us and do it. But then they'd pick out somebody else that's not me and Mike and having somebody pretty, my engineer just said in the background. Oh, well, so much for that. And so, TLC or any of those channels probably find somebody pretty. Yeah. But, you know, there are some food guys on those channels that aren't particularly pretty. So, you know. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in. Nothing happening at the winery this weekend. Well, yeah, we'll be open and things will be going on, tastings and all that. So if you're in the area, stop by. But nothing happening at the winery. As far as events or anything, that was last weekend. And next weekend, rain is supposed to be hitting us here in Florida Monday and Tuesday. Some serious rain, they're saying, those 2 days. I don't know. There's a system out just south of Cuba that is building up. And all the forecast models saying it's going to move into the Gulf of Mexico and dump rain in all the states that border Gulf of Mexico. So we're one of them. We're facing the Gulf right here. So we're going to get some rain. And that is your weekly weather forecast from All About Wine. So if you're in the area, stop by. Come see us and tune in to All About Wine. Any questions, any comments, or anything about any of the shows, email me. Or call me, or get on Facebook and make information there, all that stuff. Any of them, I check them out periodically, and I'll get back to you. Have yourself a wonderful week. We're the first of June here, second day of June, so we will be back next week on June the 9th. So mark your calendars, come see us. D-Day, celebrating coming up on the 6th, so there's another good wine day. And have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. Oops, that's the wrong one. Let me end that one now because I did the start, and I shouldn't have did the start. I should have did the end. So let's do the end.
Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the...
Stop. Okay, it stopped. Now, thanks for listening. See you next week. Why is that not playing?
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.